Hi, everyone. It's so good to be back with you guys again. And I say guys generically, men and women, base camp in the Secret Garden. And so this base camp conversation, John is really leading it. He has a friend, his friend that he's invited to be on this, which you've seen the email about. And the really fun part about this is now Cameron's our friend. So John, I'm going to pass this to you and then bring us into this really fascinating story and this really good man.
Okay, well, thanks. And Cameron Sexton, welcome. Cameron is a friend of mine. Has it been 2 years since we met?
I think maybe it's been a little while.
It's been a while, but we met. Cameron had actually stayed in the home of a good friend of mine and had produced a video that was a commercial for my friend's business. And I just happened to see the video, and I thought, wow, that is so good. And I called my friend Jeff and asked him, you know, who did that for you? And that's how Cameron and I got connected. So we went to lunch, and he started telling me his story. And I was just fascinated. I thought, this guy is like a poster child for the noble heart. Because his story just matches so well the basic message that we're trying to offer. So I thought, one of these days, I really want to get him on a campfire and introduce him to everybody else. So tonight's the night. So Cameron, I'm glad you're here, and I'm just going to turn it over to you and let you get started. Kind of like we talked the other day, if you could just start back when you first came to Christ and take it from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's an honor to be on here, I've told you guys. And it's a crazy feeling because part of my life, I was so scared and like nervous to do this stuff. And just the thought of this stuff terrified me. But I grew up and I would spend nights. My parents had this barn, and I would go out and I would act like I was preaching. It was like a barn for storage, and I would act like I was preaching, and like it's just like I would spend hours out there, and I wanted to speak in front of people. I had this desire to preach, and I grew up in a Christian home, and it was I just had this passion. I was like the gospel. Really hit me at a young age. I saw my mom, she was praying. I was about 5 years old, and she's just one of those praying mothers. You could just tell that she knew she was heard by God. And I went up to her, and I was like five, and I was like, Mom, I want what you have. And from that moment on, I just had this desire to show people the love of Jesus and something that's real. And I was about 10 years old when I would go in the barn and I would just, you know, preach my heart out, and I was be preaching to nobody, and it was awesome. But as I kind of stepped away from that and got older, I started to develop anxiety and fear of people. And so the very thing I wanted to do, I felt like I couldn't. And it was just this battle of, like, I want to preach and I want to share the love of Jesus, but I felt just all these lies and these labels of that I couldn't do it, and I wasn't able to, or I wasn't qualified to. And so I would spend nights in my room, and I just remember being so broken, just like, if we can get real for a second, I just had thoughts of killing myself and just ending my life because I didn't see anything better. And I just remember, and even talking about this is kind of emotional, you know, but I just remember crying and crying out, like, God, if you are real, please heal me of anxiety. Like, I desire to be comfortable with people and speak in front of people. But I feel like that's the very thing holding me back. I was just terrified. And I just remember being in social circles and just freaking out, like I'd be around a group of people And then they'd be like, so Cameron, how are you doing? And I would just choke up and freak out and just like run away pretty much. And it was bad. It was, I could tell you story after story of just when fear was consuming me and my heart rate would get up and I couldn't breathe. And it was just, it's crazy looking back on that and seeing what the Lord's done.
So Cameron, what was the situation that usually brought on the anxiety? Being around a lot of people or being in a group where they're all looking at you, asking you a question, or what was that?
It was more so the group. Like it got to the point where one-on-one started to be a little bit hard, but it was more so the group and everybody, you know, would look at me and I just felt their faces, like the beaming of their faces. And I was like, oh no, stop looking at me. And that would just freak me out for some reason. It just like triggered something in fear. I could tangibly feel the fear. And it's crazy how people don't really believe in, you know, that there's more, that there's the supernatural. And I really believe it was just the spirit of fear just like gripping me, and I couldn't even breathe, and then I would have to walk away. And it was pretty much in those social circles.
Yeah.
What do you feel right now talking with us?
Do what?
What do you feel right now as you're talking with us?
I'm pumped, man. I'm like, it's different sharing this, and I feel like a little bit, you know, I'm kind of like getting a little comfortable, but I'm just stoked to share my life and hopefully show that Jesus is real and he's powerful and he has way more for our life than what we go through in the hard times that we walk through. And so, yeah, I'm pumped.
Yeah, good. And I know we're going to get...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I know we're going to get more into your story, but I'm curious. Yeah. So when you were younger and you would, you know, practice and see yourself speaking to people, were you just kind of just preaching the word, or were you wanting to talk to people about something? What were you saying to all those people in the barn?
Yeah. All those pieces of furniture and stuff I was preaching to.
Uh-huh.
I think I would, I didn't really at 10, I really didn't, like, I remember having this desire to, I was like, I can't wait to, you know, this was younger, of course, but I was like, I can't wait to learn how to read, because then I can read the Bible. And I just remember that, like, really hitting me, like, oh, the day that I can read the Bible and preach from that. And so when I was 10, of course, I was reading and stuff, but I more so just would share. Like, I can't even really remember the things that I talked about. I just remember getting on stage and opening my mouth. And I would hold my Bible, you know, at 10, I would hold my Bible beside me and just, the love of Jesus, and, you know, all this stuff. And I can't even tell you what I said. But part of that, I love kids. I wanted to be a children's pastor. And I knew this guy that was insanely talented and really creative, and he often used like lights and stuff on his kid stages and just like bringing stuff to life. And so I started to kind of adapt to that. And so on my own little stage in the barn, I would bring in like laser lights and stuff. And so I would have this like light show, and I would talk about Jesus, and I was just like, it was crazy because the Lord was already putting something in me to share the gospel in a different way. And so, yeah.
Sam or John, I interrupted one of you guys. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, so go ahead and take it up from there and how you got into the film side, the video side with your camera and everything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I was around, it kind of goes hand in hand. When I was in school, I remember taking this test. My mom took me to this group of people, and they're like, you know, Cameron, we're just going to take a little test. It's, you know, and they kind of go into it. And then afterwards, I found out I had a learning disability. I remember taking the test, and it just made me frustrated because just I had a learning disability and dyslexia. And so reading and just everything, it kind of confused me. And it just, again, frustrated me. And I remember driving home with my mom, and she was just telling me, you know, like, this is not you. You know, what these people say is not who you are. We believe that Jesus can heal you, you know, and he has. And so I just remember going in my room and, again, just feeling completely stupid, completely like I wasn't able to be a normal kid or live up to, you know, the people in public school. And I remember coming home one day and I was just crying my eyes out because the teacher, she wasn't meaning to, but she called me out to read and I freaked out for the class. And I was like, Mom, I can't do it anymore. I can't be in school like this. And so I became homeschooled out of that. And it really was just something that I loved movies. I loved I would go and watch a movie and just be so drawn into the story that I would just forget about everything. And a lot of movies that I saw, or a few movies I saw, actually really changed me and, like, did stuff in my life, just the way they presented it. And so I just kind of came to a decision where I wanted to do that for other people. And so, yeah, that I started looking into it was film production for music. I'm sorry, music production for film, and then filming itself, like the cinematography and directing and all of that. And so those were the two things that I was like, oh, should I do one or the other? I started looking into cinematography, and actually it was like, all right, I'm going to do it. And so I saved up for my first camera and got that, and I would do any job I could just to make money for that. And I just started pursuing it. And I remember doing my first wedding, and it was a disaster. It was the worst. It was probably the worst wedding I've ever done. And it was beautiful, and it was on the side of a mountain overlooking, you know, the just, it was beautiful. And I just remember this huge storm came in. And this is my first wedding. I did it for really cheap. I had another guy set up on another camera. I was so pumped. And this storm comes in and blows everything away. Our gear gets soaking wet. It was probably the worst. And I remember we all had to, like, pile in the reception area, and it wasn't ready. They didn't have a plan B. And so it was crazy. But from that moment on, by the grace of the Lord, I started to do weddings, and I started to get income through weddings. And through that, I was still struggling with anxiety and fear of people. And I remember on a personal level, I remember being terrified of girls. I was like, I can't even talk to them. They freak me out. And then the Lord would put me in places where I had to go and meet with brides. And I was just, I didn't know what to say. I was freaking out. But through that, I started to see he was just putting stuff, and he gave me the strength to do it. And that's one thing I had to learn, was we people that struggle with anxiety and just the thought of messing up, I feel like is a big part of it. But yeah, it was just, he never put me in a situation that I couldn't overcome through him. Mm-hmm. And I see that now, and that really, even now just talking about it, I feel that is that he really does, even when we're terrified, even when we still are, like, messing up or stuttering or whatever, like, he's going to get us, I mean, we're going to do it, and by his grace, we're going to overcome. And, yeah, so I'm doing weddings, and I remember moving to Birmingham, but before I moved, I got to a really hard spot in my life, and I pretty much just wanted to give up, and like I said, I already had the thoughts of killing myself, and I just didn't want to mess with that anymore, because in my mind, I was like, that just didn't work, it was a waste of time, like, but I wanted to just run away and just go to another city and just sell all of my camera gear and just be done with it, because I was tired. I was telling John I'm an extreme person sometimes, so like I'm either all the way for Jesus or I don't want to be, you know, like I don't want to be in between.
Uh-huh.
And so I was working a window cleaning job, and it was another fun job that I did, and I remember doing it for this big it was a car company, and they're about to open up, and there's just these big massive windows, and I was like, God, I'm done doing this. But going back to, for a second, going back to those times in my room where I wanted to give up, it was also very significant times. And when I wanted to kill myself and had those thoughts going through my head, the Lord would invade those thoughts, and he would go right to my heart, and he would speak purpose into my heart. And I just remember, and it was nothing like I never really heard the audible voice of the Lord, but I just felt like him just singing over me, I have purpose for you. And that this is not all for nothing. Like, I have purpose, and there's purpose in this. And so the hardest times in my life were also my best times. And it was those nights in my room by myself where the Lord was just giving me vision. And I started getting vision for what I'm doing now. And it was just like, it's crazy. And I've been to conferences, and all of those are so good. And there's definitely times that I've been so encouraged by them. But I think the best times were when I was alone. There's no music. There's no anything. It was just me and the Lord. And I knew.
Hey, Cameron.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to ask, what did the vision look like at that time?
Yeah, absolutely. It was just a bunch of, it's funny, what I'm seeing now is he would give me pictures I loved. It's like he puts things in our heart that we are drawn to. Like when I see pictures of kids and kids laughing, and specifically right now orphans, it's just like it connects me with the Father's heart. And then I just like, it's crazy. It's like he puts that in us. And there's things that we're drawn to that I'm seeing now that he placed that in us to bring us to him in times of doubt or in times when we don't believe in him or whatever it might be. But yeah, I would see just little glimpses of kids, and I would see orphans being put in families. I would see I started getting, because I had that desire for film, and I started getting vision for having a film company that would also partner with organizations overseas and do a lot of mission work. But I knew I wanted it to be real, and I wanted it to be well done. And so in those times, he literally was showing me, like, not only will you do this, but I want you to speak. And that thought actually really terrified me. and he wasn't showing me that to terrify me, but he's showing me that because he said, because this is what you struggle with and you think this is your lowest point or your biggest weakness, I will make it your strength, because through me it will be your strength. And now I'm seeing that. I just want to make sure I stay on track, so y'all just like keep asking me questions.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, you're doing fine. So take us forward now. You were just about to, you were talking about, you were at the dealership, and
mm-hmm.
I remember the other day you said, "What am I doing here?" And then you came to Birmingham. So take up from that point.
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember, again, I was cleaning those big windows, and I'm like, I'm literally a few days, I'm going to sell everything. I'm just going to move to another place, just get out of here and start whatever life I want to start. And I grew up in a Christian home, so like I just wanted to get away from that. And so I remember getting a phone call that night. I was the only one there working late at this dealership, and it was a bride, and she was about to get married, and I was just taking it like a normal, like, oh, okay, I'll talk to her. And And so she was about to get married in a few months, and she was like, we would love to go with you and you film our wedding, but I also know your sister. And I have one sibling that's a sister. She's about 4 years older than me. She's super cool, super awesome. But my sister had moved to Birmingham a few years before I did. And she's like, I know your sister because we would have days of just worship and prayer. And we would go in this old warehouse and just pray and worship all day. And when she said that, something jumped in me. And, like, my heart, like, became alive. It's just that feeling of, like, wow, there's actually real people out there that really want to go after God. And so I started to feel that. You know, I talked with her, and then, you know, the conversation was over. But I remember for 3 days, I was so bothered by, like, that there are real people out there that want Jesus. And so I remember driving in my work van, going to another job, and I just stopped. And it wasn't like I had times, because through all of that, I could tell you multiple times where I would try to run away from God and then come back, and it was awesome. And there's times where I cried and, you know, all this stuff. But this time it was just simply, Lord, I miss relationship with you. I miss that time with you, the times in my room with you and being close to you. And I was like, I just want that. Like, I want to live that. But if I'm going to do it, I want to do it 100%. And so it was that simple mindset change. And that's literally from that moment. I mean, I haven't been perfect for sure, but from that moment on, something shifted. And I moved to Birmingham and started getting into weddings, and which leads into the wedding that actually, that phone call I got that night at the dealership, that wedding set me up to a lot of the people that I call family now. And actually, they started a church, and I'm a part of it now. And so it was like that one phone call with that one wedding. Also, the groom, his brother, started an organization, She Dances, an incredible organization. And they're smaller, but they're focusing on one girl at a time. And it's based in Honduras, Tegucigalpa, Honduras. And through that wedding, I got introduced to the brother. And his name's Jeremy, and he just starts sharing with me, hey, like, I want to get some coverage of Honduras. And we did some stuff here in the States to promote them. But he invites me on this trip. And he's like, if you want to go, you know, you can, and we can get new coverage of the safe home there. And so when he asked me, my heart started racing, and I still at that time have grown a lot, but still was – I felt like anxiety wouldn't leave me, and it still scared me, is what I'm getting at. And I remember the time came, and I got on the plane, and I was terrified. I was so terrified. I was in the airport, and, you know, I'm a dude, and us guys, we have to keep it together, look like we, you know, we're tough. And but I was shaking, and I was like, in the airport, and I remember going up to, because you know, go to the different checkpoints and they check your bags and stuff, and I was afraid they're going to think I'm a terrorist or something, and they're just like, it would just go wrong. And but I go in, and I'm sitting in the plane, we're about to take off, and I had this feeling in my heart, like, this trip is truly going to change my life. I felt it. And there's actually a lady that we were in a prayer group, or we got together, a few of us, the team that was about to go a few nights before. And she's like, I really feel like someone's life is going to get changed on this trip. And we all joke about it now, because it was definitely me. And but so we land there, and our first day, you know, we go in and work with kids that are in poorer areas in their school. And they were doing a prevention education, and it was so powerful. And we had kids all around us that were just, like, loving just to talk to us. And I remember we were signing autographs, like, the Americans that come in, you know, in this poor school. And so they're, like, can we get your autograph? And, you know, all these kids are around us. And part of that is my story is I felt like my dad is super awesome, and he's like, the Lord has grown him so much. But when I was growing up, he would have a hard time sharing, like expressing how much he loved me, and he really does. And so I thought that I would carry that. And so when I saw all those kids around, I was kind of hesitant because I thought I couldn't show them how to be loved. And the Lord said, hey, keep going up to them. Hey, keep hugging them, you know, just whatever. And that on that day, I felt him just break that off, that lie. And it was most of my life has been breaking off lies. And I feel like that's a lot of our lives is we grab onto these lies, but the Lord's like, no. Once you experience me, all of that stuff falls off. And so go back to, or fast forward to when I was about to walk into the safe home. And this still is an emotional thing for me because I was looking at the door and I was about to walk through, and I was so nervous. If you can't tell, I battled with that a lot. And I was about to walk through, and I was like, Lord, what do I do? These girls have been through so much, and they have been tortured, and I just didn't know how to treat them, and I didn't know what to do. And he stopped me, and I just felt him speak in my heart that these girls are completely different. He's like, you don't need to look at them any other way than that I have made them new, and I've made them whole. And so I walked into the door, and literally everything was just fine. We had a great time, and, you know, they've had a lot of stuff happen to them, so at first they're kind of reserved. But we spent about 5 days with them on and off, and it was incredible. We all became, like, just, like, really good friends in our group, and we just – it was incredible, the time and seeing that what they went through didn't dictate where they are now. And so I remember the last night I was there, we were praying in a group, and we were just blessing the girls before we left the next day. And I felt this urge to tell this one of the girls across from me that she's an overcomer. And so I was like, all right. And so I told her, and she really received it. And then I get back to the States, and I'm going through my footage, and I'm in a coffee shop, and I'm going through, and like, okay, like, what am I going to do? Because I was just going to actually do coverage of the safe home, but probably about a week before, Jeremy, the guy that led the trip, kind of offered me, he's like, what if we made a documentary into this or something? And that little spark kind of just started to turn into a flame. And so I get back and I'm like, what is this going to be about? I have no idea. And going through the footage, and then the video, the film that you, if y'all have seen it on the website, talks about Sophia's story. And that was the girl that the Lord told me to encourage and say she's an overcomer. And little would I know that I would get back and realize her story was going to launch something bigger than we both could imagine. And that it had nothing to do with us, but we were chosen before we chose God. He chose us. And so, that pretty much, I knew that was the story that was going to launch this. And from there, it just kept going. So I just want to see where I'm at and if you have any questions.
You know, what I love so much, and this was even from the first time we had lunch together, and you were telling me about you're just this young kid out in the barn preaching the gospel, and it was just something, your heart was so passionate for doing that, and yet God directed you in an avenue that was not your typical way to convey messages. Mm-hmm. And here you have prepared a little 5-minute video, and I think we've all seen that now. But at the end of that, you talk about Sophia and how she has been rescued and released and from bondage, and she is now living in freedom, and how her story is such a perfect picture of all of our story, that we've all been that way, that we all are now living in freedom, and we're learning to live in freedom. And I thought, man, in that 5 minutes, you have so well communicated the gospel.
Mm. Yeah.
And I was so captured, Cameron, by your heart at the end when you said something like, you know, this is the story of the gospel being freed from a life of slavery, this kind of thing. And you said, and this is what I want to be a part of for the rest of my life. When you said that, and I've heard, you know, I've watched the video 3 times. And every time you say that, there's something in me that leaps forward. It says, me too. I'm in with you.
Yeah.
That's what I want my life to be about. And you said it so sincerely, and I know it was sincere. And then in the midst of the story that you created, it was just powerful. I mean, that alone, you just put that seed in somebody's heart to say, I want to be part of that. I want my life to be part of that story, not of some other story, but that story.
Yeah.
And you know, then you have sub-stories of freeing people out of sexual slavery and that kind of thing. But anyway, you did a very powerful job. I'm really curious, how did you go from your desire, your passion about the idea of filmmaking, videography, to the point of where you are now in skill in both videography, storytelling, the composing? How did you gain that skill?
I honestly believe that the Lord he just deposits stuff into us. And this is definitely something, when I started editing and started learning about film and just doing my own stuff, and, you know, it was smaller, and I just felt it. And when I would put a clip out of line, or when I was pacing them together and pacing shots together, I would feel, oh, this isn't as natural, or oh, this needs to be a little bit closer, and I would just feel the whole way through and kind of put myself in, what is the viewer feeling? Like, when this shot is composed this way, what is the viewer feeling? And then when the music comes in, is it coming in at the right time? Is it coming in just in time, you know, to start moving the heart? And so it was a lot of just feeling it. And I definitely, you know, I see, you know, the guys that I look up to, and I'm like, oh, I want to do that or be like that. And there's definitely a lot of growing that I'm going to go through. But, yeah, it was just, it's something that I could kind of share with you, you know, techniques, but it's really something that I feel like the Lord puts that little tiny, you know, thing in us. And then we, you know, some of us, you know, understand that earlier and then later, and there's no time limit on it. I mean, it's just, it clicks. And I just feel like that was part of it, was it was just kind of inside of me. And but more so just speaking to the person. And I just, that's pretty much been, and even now I'm seeing that I have a desire, even when I've prayed over people and stuff, is to go straight to the heart. And I see how that correlates with film, and how I'm doing anything I can to speak, go way past the surface and go directly to the heart. And so that's, because that's what our Father does, and that's how He speaks to us, is directly to the heart. And
hey, Cameron,
yeah.
One of the guys in base camp has asked this question. He says, where do you imagine at this point that this is moving? What do you imagine this is taking you towards? What do you see towards the future?
That's a very good question. It's I kind of shared a little bit about orphans and orphanages and stuff. I want Vida Nueva to be partner with, or be in a point where it we just bring life into orphanages, we bring life into broken places. And I want to be able to take this film, and I know I had told John that I wanted to go into schools, and I wanted to share this because me having a learning disability, I felt like no one else understood, and I felt like I could never live up to these greats and these people that have done something, and just all of those lies. I want to see, I think with this, I want to see lies broken off of people and people that don't believe Jesus. And that's what really this film is geared towards, is the unbeliever. Because I feel like if you can, I don't want to say convince, but if you can show the gospel, that let them experience the gospel, that anybody will believe. Like it breaks down the barriers of religion, breaks down the barriers of if you grew up a Christian or not. It's, we are all made to know Jesus, and we were all that story. Him dying for us is inside of us. And it's like we're longing to be a part of it. And so it's just like just fanning that flame that's already in us. And so that's what I want to do with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me ask you. So I'm curious about kind of what does the journey look like? If we were to pull your life up on Google Maps and it would come up, you know, I'd be curious, what would the words you would use to kind of describe each turning point? Like you described, you know, being, mm-hmm. you know, washing the windows at this dealership and this just this dissatisfaction of this is not what I want to do with my life. I'm putting mm-hmm. words in your mouth. There's got to be something more. So there's this dissatisfaction. Mm-hmm. Then there's this call that comes in. You know, then mm-hmm. you do this wedding, and from this wedding you meet this person who says, hey, I've got this ministry, come with me, and that opens up the window to this idea of doing a documentary, a life story. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I've only repeated what you've said so far, but kind of what words yeah. would you use to describe how God has been guiding you?
That's a good question. I think it's one word I definitely know recently. One word has been desperation. And I used to look at anxiety and think that was such a wrong thing, and how could the Lord let that happen, and why I struggle with it. And I think one of the big turning points in that was, I remember I was sweeping and I was doing construction cleanup this one day, and in this room by myself, and I was just filled with the joy of the Lord. And, you know, again, like I had times of, you know, really awesome times with the Lord, and then times really, really low. But this is huge because I just knew that it just kind of clicked. I was like, regardless of how I feel, regardless if I'm nervous, if I'm not, I am not going to think differently about if I'm healed or not. And I think that changed a lot in me. And so even when I take this phone call, and, you know, at first I was a little nervous, and it did not change or, like, silence me to share my story. And through that, I was desperate. And I love that the Lord, it's not that he sent anxiety on me. You know, we live in a fallen world and that stuff happens, but he used it, and that's his character. He used something like that to point me towards him and saying and showing how much I really needed him. And so a lot of it was out of desperation that what the world has isn't working. You know, all of these things, I wanted to get into drugs. I could tell you multiple stories. Never did a lot of it by the grace of the Lord, but he was truly the one, the only answer. And it was in those times, and people say, you know, how? You say the answer, but how? And I think it just goes back to when Jesus talks about when you go and pray, go shut your door and get alone with me. And in those times, I've been so filled up with his love and his Father's heart that when I come out, then I could just share it. And so just staying desperate has pretty much just been in every aspect of all of this, in this story. And I'm seeing it more now and I, you know, it's just increasing more now. So, mm-hmm. so that answers your question.
Yeah, yeah, and so, Cameron, well, go ahead.
No, 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 go ahead.
Okay. I was going to, Catherine in the Secret Garden asked, mm-hmm. and you had referred to this, she says, what did he mean, healed, or was that something that you had mentioned at the start? Could you just mention briefly what, when you were talking about the fact that you were healed, but that was being brought into question by the enemy, what, mm-hmm. what did you mean by that?
I'm sorry, you said healed? Like when the Lord
yeah.
healed me?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I think when we pray for healing for something, or we pray for, you know, the Lord to take this away, you know, and anxiety was that big thing for me. I just wanted it to be taken away. I didn't want to feel it anymore. I didn't want that pressure anymore. And I feel like the culture we live in is so, like, we want everything now. We want it now. We want it now. And I've seen it happen, like, you know, right away. And I've seen, I can tell you stories about seeing people healed, and it was, like, instant. But I think, all I know really is he was healing me, but he used all of these things that happened to show me so much more than if he were to heal me instantly, if that makes sense. Like, because I was still going through that and learning, like, even in the midst of the pain, to look for the hope, to see the hope, that he, I don't know, it's one of those things where you can pray for healing to, oh, I want to speak and I want to not be nervous, or you can believe that God is who he says he is and that he's already healed you, and you can walk on stage and speak and open your mouth. And that was a big part in my life, and a big turning point was I was still terrified of speaking. Even when I was nervous and I stepped on stage for the first time and spoke, it was like he filled my mouth and healing was in my words. And actually during that service, towards the end, a lot of people were crying and people came up to me and said, like, you have no idea. And I say, it's not me, it's Jesus, you know, it's him. And so, yeah, if that answers your question.
Yeah.
Let me jump in and say, Sam, we've missed your voice. Do you have a question or a thought so far? You've been so patient. Or are you not on the phone anymore?
So, Cameron, I guess one of the things that we all wonder is we love the way that you, over a period of time, but you have sort of gotten some clear sense, some conviction on the heart of something mm-hmm. to do, now of a call. Now, it's gotten clearer. You know, John said, what did it feel like when you were 10, and then what did you feel like later? But how would you mm-hmm. describe that conviction on the heart from God, that certainty? How would you describe it so other people could recognize it in themselves? Because it may not be for them to do videography. So mm-hmm. how would you describe that conviction, that certainty, that call, that passion?
Yeah. I think we all, and some people are still kind of, you know, they still might not know just yet, like, what they want to do or, like, be a part of something greater. Well, first of all, Jesus is that greater. We go after him and we be a part of it. So no matter what we do, no matter where we work, where we go, when we get along with Jesus and when we just live our lives through Jesus, that everything else flows out of that. And I think that's been the biggest thing right now is that this film is not me. I'm not a filmmaker. That it's a part of my tool to share the love of Jesus. And so everything kind of flows out of that. And but, yeah, just to get my thoughts together, but to have a vision and to have it unfolding and see, and now I'm somewhat walking in it, I guess. And I think it's just don't, the world's going to tell you so many things and tell you And the devil's going to tell you so many things. And it's just that inward battle of, like, you can't do this. You're not qualified. But it's really just staying. I think, honestly, the answer is Jesus. Like, I'll say that a lot. And it goes back again to that time with him, and that he refreshes you in the dreams and visions that you've had in your heart, or that you desire to see, or that you want more of, or you might not know what it is yet, that it's that time with him is where he refreshes you, recharges you, that you can continue dreaming, you can continue going after the vision. And even recently, it has been it's been uphill, downhill. Now it's getting more, a little bit more level, because my focus is not moving. But, it's just, I'm seeing how important it is to spend time with our Maker. And I'm seeing also with making this film and keep on asking the questions, like, who's this going to reach? What is it going to say? What is the message? And it's really, it's just the simple gospel of that God became personal for us. He loved us so much that he wanted to be personal to us, and how that message and how that just goes along with everything. Like, everything, every answer is him, and being personal with him, he keeps the vision alive. He keeps everything alive. And I'm seeing that when I leave, or it's not even about, you know, trying to do the works or trying to, I need to pray every day or do this, and all of those things are so good. But it's just simply knowing that I'm loved, and that I have a relationship with my Creator, and that his Son died so that I can boldly walk into his throne room every day. And just regardless of what I've done, regardless of, you know, whatever I'm going through, that I have that he desired so much, that he shed his blood so that I can do that. And, I think that's what it comes down to. And keeping the vision alive, it's just every time I can say countless times, I wanted to give up so many times, wanted to be done with it. I remember making the film, the 5-minute film that you saw, I wanted to throw my computer out the window about 50 times making that film, because it was just like, it was just so important. And I was like, oh, is the message coming across? And but I would get along with the Father, and he would just breathe life into me, and he would say, keep going. And
Cameron, this has been so, so good. You have so well portrayed the man that I experienced at lunch a couple of years ago and the story. And I'm so glad that we've all been able to hear this. We've got to close it off because we're at about 50 minutes now. But I wanted Sam and Gary, and then I'll if you guys have just a closing comment real quickly, and then I'll close this out.
You know, yeah, thank you, John. I'm actually, my closing thought that I want to put out here is something that actually Matt Telford, who Cameron, I told you, he's the guy that's been involved in filmmaking for quite a while, a lot of Christian films. But one of the things he wrote in the chat line, I just think is absolutely right on. And he was referring to you and your effect that we're feeling right now. And he just used these words. And so I'm with him in this. He said, conviction, respect, strength, his story, open heart makes me long for a closer relationship with Christ. No shame in his struggles, refreshing. You have had this effect. I mean, we're only hearing your voice right now, and I think your greatest gift is the way you speak and you share through film. But you have had this effect on us, and I mean, what Matt said is exactly what I feel from you. So it's been just fun to hear you. It's really fun to know that we have a friendship now, and I know I am just excited for how God is leading you and what he's doing right now with you in the whole area of film. So I applaud you and stand with you in this. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Sam, did you have anything?
Yeah, Cameron. I think that first, Gary stole my line, so I have to
say that's why I went first.
Matthew Telford's comment was great. But I would say there was something, you know, we always talk about Christianity being a relationship with God, but then no one ever talks about what that really means. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, the sermons we have typically are behavior-oriented or sort of philosophical theology, but they're not sort of a day-to-day walking with God. And I think the thing that struck me most about your discussion is through the difficulty, through the storms and the sunshine, sort of you're sort of coming back and talking with God and hearing God, and a relationship with God is the thing that has kept you going. I asked you, how do you discover this calling? And you said, well, you know, it's sort of just time with God. You know, I mean, you know. but we always say Christianity is a relationship with God, and then no one teaches how to have a relationship with God. You know, we just sort of assume it, but I think that your story is a living example of it. And so I thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow.
And I'll close with one final comment. To me, that is, in essence, your calling, or the effect of your life is the ability to communicate story, the language of the heart. You do that through film, but you've done it tonight just over the phone without any visuals at all. And so it's the effect that you have. I'm really excited about what is going to happen with this film, and I'm going to post real quickly here the link, if anybody's interested, just to go sign up for to keep in contact with you on this film project you're working on, in case anybody's interested.
So, that's awesome.
Cameron, again, thank you so much for joining us tonight. This has really, really been good and refreshing and encouraging. So,
thank you.
Go
ahead.
And everybody else, thank you for coming tonight. And we'll just call it an evening. Good night, everybody.
Yep, good night. Thank you, Cameron. See ya.
Thank you. See ya.
Okay. Bye-bye.